Welcome to another ABC Radio National podcast. For more information, go to abc.net.au/rn.
This is ABC Radio National, time for another science show. He's also convinced that carbon capture has good possibilities. So what's been happening on that front? Naomi Fowler reports from London.
CO2 emissions can be controlled. It's really just getting the portfolio right.
It sounds like a utopian dream. The world's biggest energy companies going green. Burning coal, the dirtiest of all fossil fuels, and gas for our energy needs, but capturing the CO2 and other harmful emissions, which they think they can store deep underground forever. Ex-PM Tony Blair hailed it as central to Britain's new low-carbon energy mix.
Global warming is the greatest long-term threat to our planet's environment. We need, therefore, the most radical overhaul of energy policy since the war. We will treble investment in clean technology, including clean coal, and we will take the necessary measures to meet one of the most ambitious targets on the environment set anywhere in the world, a 60% reduction in emissions by the year 2050.
It's not hard to see why politicians find it attractive. Companies like BP like the idea of public investment that helps them pump CO2 into oil fields, making extraction easier and cheaper. They've joined forces with coal giant Rio Tinto. They like it because it means they ensure ever larger markets for their coal. But the government's promises on carbon capture and storage have fallen short. Energy companies were gearing up to enter a competition where the winner would receive public support for a demonstration plant by the end of 2005. 2 years later, it was postponed, and BP pulled out of building its first plant in Britain.
I think the government is caught on a whole series of dilemmas.
Editor of the Petroleum Review, Chris Grabowski.
It doesn't know quite what the best way to spend taxpayers' money is. As always happens with bureaucracy, you set up study after study and this ends up delaying any firm decision.
Greenpeace's view is that if the industry think carbon capture and storage is such a great idea, well, let them invest their own money in it.
Charlie Cronick of Greenpeace.
Carbon capture and storage allows them to maintain their supply chains and their markets pretty much as they exist now. But I think the real question is just how much they'll be able to squeeze out of government to prop up that system. What it doesn't do is address any of the fundamental problems of our energy system, which is the inherent waste, both in the way we use energy, but also the incredible waste in the way we generate it.
Charlie Cronick is what some might call an energy idealist. Our whole wasteful energy system must be radically altered, he says. Someone's got to set a pioneering example, invest public money in renewables, decentralise energy, and set high efficiency standards. Then you've got the carbon capture and storage enthusiasts, who might call themselves energy realists. They point out that China's just overtaken the US as the world's largest CO2 emitter. They're building a new coal-fired power station every 4 days on average and will only undo CO2 emission reduction by countries that can afford to be more conscientious. So the argument goes, better to test and implement carbon capture and storage technology that works with the current energy sources of choice.
Nobody would bother to do carbon capture and storage if they weren't bothered about climate change mitigation. Effectively, you're taking money and stuffing it down a hole in the ground. But it really hits the spot on climate change.
Dr. John Gibbons of Imperial College London's Energy Technology for Sustainable Development Group.
Clearly, we don't have global agreement that would support many tens of percents of cuts in emission right now. But I think everybody would agree that we want to open up some options. And carbon capture and storage is a very big part of that. So if you go and build 100 plants that are all the same straight away, well, okay, you cut some CO2, but you'd make 100 mistakes. We want to look at building a few tens of plants initially. If we can do that quickly, then we've got a chance. Every year that goes by is a year wasted.
So progress is frustratingly slow for the carbon capture and storage aficionados. Editor of the Petroleum Review, Chris Grabowski again.
The major problem, I think, in fact, is that we are in a technologically new area. No one has really done these things before. So it's very difficult to determine what a big project will cost at the moment.
As well as financial considerations, there are also some legal and other very basic obstacles to overcome. Dr. Gibbons again.
They can only support projects that are legal. And at the moment, the only way we can put CO2 offshore is as enhanced oil recovery, where you're getting oil out of the ground. It still isn't legal to store carbon dioxide in the seabed in the North Sea. Now, that will happen, but it's not legal until it's legal. And then the other question is, well, will it leak? We're obviously pretty certain it won't leak, because we know there's been places in the Earth's crust where volatile liquids have stayed for millions of years.
Naturally, you mean?
Naturally, yeah. And that includes CO2. I mean, there's a lot of natural gas around Australia, for example, that's got pretty high percentages of CO2, and that stayed there for tens of millions of years. And then the question is, well, what are your alternatives?
But Charlie Cronick of Greenpeace says time isn't on our side.
The best science that we have now from the IPCC's recent fourth assessment report, which is the kind of state of the art on climate science, is that we've probably got between 10 to 15 years to peak our global emissions in carbon dioxide and then start to reduce in a pretty sharpish, actually. So the idea of investing money in a technology that's not going to be commercially viable for around 10 years, it isn't just robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's seriously compromising our ability to meet the demands of reducing emissions in the short term.
But Dr. John Gibbons still thinks it's the least bad show in town.
I think it is at least 10 years before it can have a significant impact. If it's the best you can do, then it's the best you can do, and whether it's too late or not is a bit irrelevant. You know, you've done your best. It's a very challenging option, but then so is tackling climate change. Is it going to be enough? Well, that's a very good question, and we don't know.
No one knows if the British government's ambitions to be a world leader in carbon capture technology will bear fruit here or not. Any public financing will only add to the subsidies the fossil fuel industry has always received. But coal and gas do look set to be a significant proportion of the global energy mix for the foreseeable future. And if the world's policymakers aren't willing or able to change that, argue the carbon capture and storage fans, perhaps they must accept it. This is Naomi Fowler in London for The Science Show.